Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair in for Joe today. Joe on vacation. David will be back on Monday as well. So looking forward to that coming up on Monday. Joe will be back next week. Ryan Porth here with you today as well on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've got what I guess could be our last edition of Weekend Winners coming up at 9:30 before Pigskin Pick'em happens. That depends on what happens in the NBA Finals coming up, I guess. So potentially our last edition of Weekend Winners coming up at 9:30.
You don't want to pick baseball games all the time?
I can't say that I do. Can't say that we're going to go down that route. And we are significantly.
Dog days, baseball games, yeah.
We are significantly behind Joe Rexroad at this point in the competition.
Is that right?
Oh, big time, man. He would have to go probably 0 for his next 30.
Okay.
And I don't anticipate that happening.
Probably not.
Joe has 30 games over 500 in the against the spread pick. It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
He's done a pretty good job so far at this point. So looking forward to that coming up at 9:30. Right now, though, we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in former NFL tight end Vernon Davis, who also has some exciting news coming up this weekend. Vernon, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. No problem.
So, Vernon, the ESPYs are coming up tomorrow night, and you are serving as the voice of the ESPYs. The first time in the ESPYs history that they're having an athlete to be the voice of the show. How did this come about? How did you get involved with this? And what's your excitement level being involved with the ESPYs coming up tomorrow night?
You know what? I think it's a great opportunity. I'm very, very grateful for it, especially since an athlete has never done it. Well, ex-athlete, I should say. But it's just like one of those things, like I want to say law of attraction, and just over the years, just, you know how they say when you meet people, make sure you treat them the way you want to be treated, right? And it's an old friend of mine that I met in the past, happens to work for the ESPYs, and you know, we crossed paths long years ago, and my name came up, and you know, it just worked out. It happened to work. So, like I said, it's an honor, grateful, and I look forward for the opportunity.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing it. And Vernon, you know, obviously, a lot of us here locally, we remember your playing days in the NFL, and just what a great player you were. But you've taken an interesting career path post retirement here from the NFL and gotten into acting. Started a production company of your own as well, starring in a film with Bruce Willis coming up as well. That's coming up called Day to Die. What kind of got you into acting? When did you know that was something that you wanted to do? And how did this all come about post your football playing days?
Yeah, I've always been intrigued with acting. When I was in San Francisco, I took a class at the Shelton Theater of Art. So I would leave practice, go to class for 2 months. And it was an improv class, and I fell in love with it. After that, I was like, hey, I have to do this. I love it. It's a great feeling. I can express myself in many different ways. So as I was playing my last couple years, I said, I'm going to come up with a plan to come up with my own production company and learn by doing a movie, an independent film on my own, so I can learn the ropes. So after that, and I just kept pursuing it, taking auditions and just immersing myself in the world of the creative of this craft. So that's how it all started.
Vernon, I'm curious, back to the ESPYs for a second. What is that night like for the athletes? I mean, do they care about winning the awards? Is it just a nice night to get together and visit with people from other sports that you admire? Is it a big deal to them? Is it not? What, from an athlete's perspective, give us a little view of that night.
Yeah, it's a great, you look forward to going to the ESPYs. You look forward to seeing the different players from basketball to golf, you name it. And you're excited. Yeah, you're excited for the award. Yeah, I mean, you want to win it because it's not often you can wake up as an athlete and receive an ESPYs, an ESPY award. So I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, I remember my first time there, and I was with Patrick Willis, and we accepted an award on behalf of the team, for the team. So I just remember sitting there with Patrick, looking at him and saying, hey, man, we're about to go up on stage. This is going to be great. We had a few words, and we also had an opportunity to bring up a wish kid with us. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, you look forward to it in general, just like to accepting the award, to seeing different people, and just having a good time. The after parties as well. It's always a good time.
So, Vernon, as you look ahead to kind of your next career now, getting into acting, what are your goals going with this? I mean, we've seen a lot of former athletes kind of dive into the acting field, and I know you brought up The Rock a few times as somebody who you admire and that you look up to. What's kind of your goal taking this next step and moving into acting as your next career outside of playing football?
Yeah, my goal is to just have fun and just do something that I love doing. You know, I try to talk to the younger generation, younger kids about like just doing things that you really love, that you're really passionate about. You know, don't just settle. And that's my plan, to do it as long as I possibly can and to have fun with it. Because if you're enjoying it and you're having fun, everything else is gonna come with it. So just having fun and enjoying it. That's all.
Vernon, looking back a little bit on your playing days, you're kind of known here in Nashville as the guy who kept Delanie Walker down when he was there in San Francisco. You know, when you saw the success Delanie had here, did that surprise you because of the difference in the numbers he put up here or there? Did you know he had that kind of ability when you were playing with him?
No, I always knew Delanie was talented. You know, from the time we walked in back in 2006, I knew he was fast. I mean, he came in as a wide receiver, but they moved him to tight end. And he gained that weight and kept his speed. So I was like, this guy's talented. He can catch, natural ability to track the ball. He just had all the tangibles that you look for in an elite tight end. So it didn't surprise me when I saw him putting up those numbers and playing the way he did in Tennessee. But yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he was able to have that kind of success. You know, it was going to happen eventually because of who he was and, you know, how he approached the game. He was a real pro.
Former NFL tight end and voice of the 2021 ESPYs, Vernon Davis, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Vernon, it's interesting. A big story this week has been name, image, and likeness coming into effect at college football, and now these players have the opportunity to get paid at the college level via endorsements and all of these different things, and they can go and be an actor while they're playing football if they really wanted to with the new laws coming into effect. What do you think all this? What do you think of these opportunities for players now in today's college game to be paid for the first time legally here in the history of college sports?
You know what? I'm a bit jealous because I wish they had that when I was playing ball because I couldn't even pay some of my bills in college. You know, but no, I think it's great for them. I think it's awesome because what it does is it makes them, it gives them the comfortability to be able to, you know, go into the game professionally as a, you know, once they get drafted or walk on as a, you know, go on as a free agent, not a free agent, but just walk on, or however they get to the NFL. I think it just, you know, just gives them just that insight on what it feels like to be able to have a deal like that. It's like an endorsement deal or what have you. But I think it's a great opportunity, not only that, but for them to be able to make money the right way while they're playing ball. It's just great to be able to have that. And then brands could really utilize these guys and be with them for, you know, a long term. I think it's awesome.
Now, Vernon, before we let you go, I do have to ask you this question. You were on Dancing with the Stars in 2020. What's more difficult, going across the middle and catching the ball over the top of a middle linebacker or finding out how to nail that routine in Dancing with the Stars? What was that experience like for you?
Learning Paso Doble and Foxtrotting was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I mean, because you got to think, you got to get this routine down in 3 to 4 days, you know. So that was extremely hard, man. But it was also a great opportunity, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Reminding everyone, Vernon Davis is the voice of the ESPYs this weekend. And Vernon, what is the voice? I mean, are you the guy coming in and out of commercials? Or are you reading a script? Are you going to get to improv at all? Sort of give us a quick rundown of what your night's going to be like.
Yeah, so I'll be behind the scenes, and you'll, you know, whenever you hear a voice, it'll be my voice. like you said, it's the first time they had an athlete do it. But yeah, it's just a script, pages. Some of it's pre-recorded, and some of it's live. So it's a mix of both. But whenever you hear that voice, like coming to you live from the rooftop, this is the ESPYs, that kind of stuff. So you know, I'm mentioning names like Stephen Curry. You know, just yeah, it's just everything you hear that's not from the host. So whenever you hear whenever the host isn't talking and you hear a voice when you're waiting or just someone's coming out, that'll be my voice.
Is there a host voice? Like, is it your regular speaking voice, or do you have a actual? Like, can you give us a preview of how it's going to sound?
Yeah, coming to you live. This is Vernon Davis. No, I'm joking. No, that's not my voice. No, that's the late night soul voice.
Oh, that was awesome.
No, but no, it's just a regular voice. Hey, this is what can I say? I'll read this. This is the ESPYs, and I'm Vernon Davis, the voice of the night, and blah, 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 you know, just something like that. I don't want to give you that.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to get into the meat and potatoes of what I'm going to say. I want it to be a surprise.
That's right, exactly. You got to leave the people in suspense. Vernon, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us here on the show this morning. Very much looking forward to you as the voice of the ESPYs, and great success. But best of luck to you as you move forward here with your acting career as well.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Former NFL tight end Vernon Davis, our guest here on Robbie and Rextrode. That's awesome. Going from being a pretty high-level tight end in the NFL, now the voice of the ESPYs, the first time an athlete doing that, to acting in movies, coming out with a movie with Bruce Willis coming up as well.
This is it occurs to me, this is sort of an underrated thing right now. It used to be, you know, way back in the day, athletes didn't make enough money. They all had to have off-season jobs, right? And then post-playing careers, selling insurance or whatever they were doing. Then you sort of went into this period where the idea was you make enough money that you don't have to work after you're done playing.
Right.
And now we're seeing, you know, we're seeing Eddie George and his multifaceted career, and all these guys are sort of, you know, they're all sort of trying to set them, using their careers to set themselves up for something bigger or different or interesting coming next. And you know, this is a really good example of that. I find this is it occurs to me this is an interesting trend in the pro sports world right now.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the NBA finals from last night. Phoenix Suns with a statement once again. Is this thing over? Can Milwaukee come back and hang on? Also, a big night last night for Nashville SC as well. While there's one thing about this season so far for Nashville SC that's driving me nuts, we'll get to that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and the NBA Finals, speaking of, are finally here. And FanDuel Sportsbook has a championship offer that you don't want to miss, because during the finals, new users get 30-1 odds on either team, the Bucks or the Suns, to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Right now, the Suns up 2-0. Maybe the Bucks can get back in it going back home to Wisconsin. There are even more ways to win on FanDuel during the NBA Finals. And when you do win, getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours, plus the app, very, very easy to use. So just sign up today with promo code ROB to bet the NBA Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that promo code is ROB to unlock 30-1 odds on either team to win their next game, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wagering designated offer market. A $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 this Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Special guest this Monday night will be Nashville SC General Manager Mike Jacobs. You can watch the show online as well via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rextrode. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Periscope as well. And speaking of Nashville SC, David Beauclair.
Yes.
A 2-2 draw last night for Nashville SC against Atlanta United. Some goals taken off the board. Nashville SC the better team throughout the game. But another draw for Nashville SC. They have played 7 games this year. They are 4-1-7. So seven draws.
12 games, seven draws.
Seven draws.
Unbeaten at home, though.
Unbeaten at home.
They
continuing to collect points.
Are they sure they want to move to the fairgrounds? Nissan Stadium, you know, been a pretty good little place for them so far.
And about 23,000 in attendance last night. Now, look, I will readily admit, I am new to soccer. I've been around Nashville SC for a while now. I've been around them and watched them grow even before the USL days. So there's some investment level here. I love me some Nashville SC. I'm glad to see that this city is becoming more and more of a soccer market. I'm excited about the World Cup qualifying match coming up on September the 5th. I'm excited about the possibility of the World Cup as a whole maybe coming in 2026 here for a few matches. But I will say, the one thing about soccer that I've not really been able to wrap my mind around yet and really accept is the frequency in which draws happen. I mean, we're talking seven draws in 12 games. Seven games without a winner or a loser. Beauclair, I've got to rewire my way of thinking, because the sports that I've loved my whole life, to think about that drives me nuts. And before I get the text and the tweets, I know, look, ties can happen in the NFL. We've seen them happen. They are very rare, but we've seen them happen. Ties used to be able to happen in the NHL as well, and then they fixed it. And you can argue whether or not the shootout's a good thing or a bad thing. I happen to not really mind the shootout all that much. I know some people hate it, but it's just one of those things where I've not been able to really wrap my mind around the frequency of how often draws happen at the MLS level.
I will say this, though. I like the fact that the MLS awards 3 points for a win, one for a draw. I
do like that.
I would have preferred the NHL had done that, as you know, a couple years ago, as opposed to going to the 3-on-3 or even the 4-on-4. If they had just played a 5-minute overtime but awarded two extra points instead of one, I think that would have served the game well. There is real incentive to not tie, but soccer is just that kind of game. It's one of the realities. It one of the things that is making soccer, is fueling soccer's rise in this country right now, is that it's the U.S. has finally stopped trying to reinvent soccer to its own purposes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we hear soccer broadcasts on TV with British announcers, and it sounds really authentic, and it sounds different than American sports broadcasts. No one's really trying to play an American version of the game. It's you know, this is what works throughout the world. It works here too. So part of what international soccer is, part of the game all across the world, is ties. And so you have to, if you're going to get on board with this, you have to embrace the fact that this is another thing that makes it different from American sports, and that, you know, it that being part of its appeal, accept it and realize this is what you're dealing with here, and embrace the difference.
Joe on Twitter told me, and I quote, "You got to get over it. Draws are a part of soccer. As you watch more, you learn there are some good draws and some bad ones.
That's true.
Some feel almost as good as a win, and others feel just like a loss." Now, that is something that fundamentally I cannot understand. I guess I've got to work my way around. But Joe also said, "I was just like you in 2013 when I started watching. I didn't like a lot of things about the game. But the more I watched, the more I understood it, at least. Some of the things I still can't stand, diving being one. Ugh. But it's a great game, and it gets better the more you watch." I've enjoyed watching soccer. It's just the ties I can't do.
To his point, last night's tie for Nashville SC certainly felt like a loss.
Felt like a bad one. Well, and Gary Smith basically said as much after the game, leaving points on the table. We talked to Tony Husband before the game yesterday about how Atlanta's missing a lot of guys. It's probably a game you need to win. Now, granted, Nashville SC missing some players as well due to international competition, and they missed Walker Zimmerman last night. I don't think there's any question about that, but it did feel like Nashville SC left some points on the table last night.
It you know, I didn't watch the match. I don't know. I sort of followed along a little bit on social media. I was kind of aware what was going on. But I have a long history with soccer.
You do?
I do. I go way back to the early 90s. I was a correspondent for Soccer America, was covering the Dallas Sidekicks for a couple newspapers in Dallas back in the day. It of course that was indoor soccer, but did some stuff with the national team back then. I guess that's part of the appeal of soccer too, is it hasn't changed a whole lot. All sports evolve to a certain degree, but there is sort of a timeless nature to soccer that sort of was baseball's appeal for a long time, and suddenly, as analytics have taken over baseball, suddenly baseball's a completely different game than we knew for most of our lifetimes. Soccer hasn't changed a whole lot, and ties have always been there, and I don't know that there's a real hue and cry to change that.
Other than me. I'm the lone voice in the wilderness.
I mean, obviously, when you get into the, right now the Euros are going on, it can't have ties in the knockout round. You've got to settle it, and that becomes, highly dramatic in those moments. But it's interesting that soccer is willing to let everybody sort of come away saying, okay, could have been better, could have been worse. We'll take it and move on.
Porthy, you looked like you had something to say, but then you didn't.
Well, I was going to weigh in that betting on soccer
is
frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine.
Because in these tournaments, in like Euro, it's all about 90 minutes. Yeah. Are they going to win in 90 minutes, or are they going to advance?
Yeah. That's why you got to be good.
Yep.
We'll get to that more coming up in Weekend Winners here in just a second.
Porthy, do we need to get you the hotline number? You're developing an issue over there.
Well, you don't need to get it to me. It's 1-800-889-9789. I mean,
that's for sure. Got more of that coming
up. Luckily, I haven't called that number yet.
You have not. That's good.
Yet.
Yet is the key word.
I had the greatest lesson in how not to get too involved in sports gambling back in about January.
Oh, yeah?
I kick around a couple of bucks here and there on DraftKings just for kicks every now and then. And I hadn't made a bet in probably 3 weeks, and I get an email one day saying, we understand that our app was not functioning for a while Saturday. We apologize. Of course, I had no idea, right? And they said, but, to make it up to you, we're giving everybody a free $50 bet. Just use it sometime the next week. For $50, all right, this will be fun, right? So a couple days later, SMU, my alma mater, playing a basketball game against Tulsa.
Highly anticipated match.
SMU's a 2.5-point favorite. I thought, okay, this will be fun. I'm putting my $50 down on SMU. 12 minutes to go. The Ponies are up by 17. And they won by 2, I think it was. They won by one or two. Whatever. I lost, And I just thought, I really did. I sat back. I thought to myself, if that had been real money, I'd have been losing my mind right now, and there's no better little reminder to me to, like, don't you dare think you're smart enough to do this for real. Like, just
17-point lead?
17-point lead with 12 minutes to go. And failed to cover a 2.5-point spread.
That's a bad beat.
Bad beat.
But it's not. It's a bad free beat.
Right. That's what I say. That's what I say. But, at some point, like, just imagine, like, we all know, you bet enough, you win a couple times in a row, you start to think you're smart.
Yep.
I will forever have that lodged right in the front of my brain. You are not smart enough to beat the system. The bookies have been around forever for a reason.
Yeah.
They win.
You win a couple times, and you put 100 on Toronto to beat Ottawa, and then...
That's a tough one for you. That's a constant theme for you throughout the season.
I literally put a... To your point, David, I literally put a reminder in my phone. There was a Toronto-Ottawa game late in the regular season where I put a reminder in my phone, do not bet on the Leafs-Sens tonight. Because every single time I bet on Toronto-Ottawa this season, Ottawa would crush my hopes and dreams and do it in, just unbelievable fashion.
The final seconds.
Ottawa.
Ottawa and SMU.
Yes.
Crushing dreams everywhere.
The Orioles are becoming my Ottawa Senators of baseball.
Apparently so. Speaking of that, we've got weekend winners coming up next. We've got some winners to throw your way, a standings update as well. The competition getting pretty heated between Porth and myself. There's some distance between Joe Rexroad and the rest of us. We'll get to all that coming up next. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Time to pick some winners, we hope. Robbie and Rexroad have weekend winners for you now
on ESPN
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is time, that time of the week, for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got a lot of action coming up this weekend in the world of sports, and we've got some winners to throw your way. We'll start with a very quick standings update. And Ryan Porth, I got to tell you, was not a great weekend really for any of us last week in this competition. You were gone, so Elijah Campbell in the fold making your picks. Joe Rex Road doesn't have 35 NBA games to rely on, so had to go outside the box and maybe pick a little other sports like baseball. Didn't go so well for Joe Rex.
Not Aussie Rules football?
Was not. Well, I did have an Aussie Rules football pick last week.
And you lost.
Yeah, I'm 0-2.
Good job.
May or may not go back to the well. The Gold Coast has let me down. West Coast has let me down. So we'll see what happens on that front in the Australian Rules Football League.
Good luck to you.
The standings update is this. Joe Rex rode 2-4 last week with no lock. So Rex rode sits at 72-42 overall, 88 points, 16-3 on his locks. So, been almost automatic with his locks. Did not happen for Rex Road last week. Ryan Porth, last week selected by Elijah Campbell, 3-3 with your lock last week. So, 4 points available to you, bringing your overall record to 56-56, a total of 66 points, 10-9 on your locks. Robbie Stanley, 2-4 last week with the lock. 52-62 overall, 62 points, 10-9 on the lock. So, Porth, as we sit going into this week, there is a 4-point difference between you and I for second place in this competition. And you are currently in second place, 22 points behind Rex Road. So, he's in pretty good shape.
A lot of ground to make up.
A lot of ground to make up here in weekend winners. And David Beauclair, you're in the mix today. So, we start with Game 3 coming up of the NBA Finals, the Suns with a 2-0 series lead, taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the third time I've called them Milwaukee Bucks. I really want them to be the Milwaukee Bucks. My goodness. I can't believe I continue to do this. The Milwaukee Bucks playing at home in Game 3 coming up on Sunday night. The Bucks -4 in this game. David Beauclair, we begin with you. Suns-Bucks Game 3. Bucks -4 in the game. Who you got?
Suns winning outright.
Whoa. Suns not only with the +4, winning outright in
winning
the game.
Outright.
Go up
3-0
in the series.
This series is done.
So you say, is you calling a sweep?
Sure. Yeah.
Is there a conviction in there?
Well, given that I haven't watched a moment of games 1 or 2, it's tough to have a lot of conviction, but
Suns have looked sure. pretty good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've read about them. Read about the games.
Ryan Porth, the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, -4 at home coming up in Game 3 on Sunday, which, by the way, you can hear on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That's right.
Who are you taking, Suns or Bucks?
Give me the Butts.
The Butts -4.
The Butts -4.
Any analysis you'd like to provide to that? Any reasoning?
They are back home. They've been good at home.
Okay.
In the playoffs.
Well said. This is a great job by Ryan Porter.
The Butts have been good at home this postseason.
Really,
it's not a free beat, though. Let's be clear about that.
It is not a free beat here on the program. Really high maturity level we have, continue to have here on Weekend Winners. David Beauclair, we are sorry to expose you to this type of thing that happens seemingly a daily basis here on the show.
Lay down with a pig, you're going to roll in the mud eventually.
That's
you
right.
Know?
I will also take the Milwaukee Butts coming up in Game 3. The Butts -4. I think they get it done. Giannis, he plays well at home. Chris Middleton remembers how to shoot a basketball. And at the end of the day, that's enough. I said it in Call Your Shot Friday, so I've got to stick with it. I think the Bucks are going to even this thing up. It'll be 2-2 heading back to Phoenix for Game 5, and I think the Bucks roll in Game 3. So give me the Bucks minus 4. Ryan Porth, are you okay to continue this segment of Weekend Winners?
Sure.
Okay. The final of the Euros coming up this weekend. England with a big win a couple of days ago that sent the country into a frenzy. They'll take on Italy, and we're picking this game straight up for the Euro finals. Who wins between England and Italy? Ryan Porth, we begin with you.
Italy.
Really? All right.
I'm going with Italy, mostly because this would be so England with their history of soccer tournaments.
That's true.
To have the Euro at Wembley and not win.
Yeah.
So give me Italy.
They do kind of have the a little bit of a Toronto Maple Leafs feel to them.
They do.
Where they can screw things up at a moment's notice.
Absolutely.
So we'll see, though. A good call by Ryan Porth for Italy. David Beauclair, England or Italy on the money line coming up in the Euro final? Who you taking?
I agree. And not every national team, not every country could go into England and win that game. But I think Italy, particularly this particular bunch, is just going to revel in that. Plus, they owe me.
They do.
The Azzurri, I fell in love with the Azzurri for no reason in particular back in 92 when the World Cup was here. And Roberto Baggio was the star of that team and missed a penalty kick in the, I don't even remember if it was a semifinal or the final, but I can still see the photo of Baggio with his head down after missing that kick, and so
a little bit of redemption.
This is my time to this is their time to make it up for me, make it up to me, and I will rejoice in Italy's victory, even though I don't have a drop of Italian blood in me.
Give me England in this matchup. England will win at home, and the drinks will be flowing all around London. Okay. I think England gets it done against Italy. So that brings us to the individual portion of the selection of weekend winners. Ryan Porth, would you like to begin? Your first individual selection is what or whom?
I'm going back to the butts.
Okay.
Giannis will be the top point scorer in the game.
What?
At minus one. It's minus 120. That is within our rules.
The top point scorer in the game?
Yes, you can bet on that. Do you not mean know
for
this?
I knew that. Oh, you mean for the whole game. I thought you meant for the Bucks.
No.
I was like, well, yeah. Okay. I guess
for the whole game.
I guess we'll allow that.
We're going to find out after the finals that knee's really more messed up than people realize.
I think so, too.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him to be good like two or three games in a row right now. I don't think he's got it in him.
By the way, Keith on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Porth likes the butts, and he cannot lie. And with that, Ryan Porth is done for the remainder of the
Fear
segment.
The butts.
Fear the butts. All right, we'll allow that one to take place. David Beauclair, your first individual selection.
I said during Call Your Shot Friday that Shohei Ohtani would not get out of the first round of the Home Run Derby. I'm calling Pete Alonso as your winner.
Pete Alonso.
He will become the fourth multi-time champion.
I like it.
Joining Ken Griffey Jr., Jonas Cespedes, and Prince Fielder.
I think he'd be the third back-to-back.
That'd be awesome. Because
Alonso won in 19 the last time they did this.
I like it.
That's right. Yes.
A little Home Run Derby
Griffey
action.
Griffey won it back-to-back. Cespedes won it back-to-back.
Alonso is built for this format.
It's not Ohtani's jam. I'm thinking this is Alonso's jam. Exactly right.
Well, and he's taking batting practice, too. So that also helps in this competition. I've gone to the whale of Australian League football the last couple of weeks, and it's not worked out well. I'm 0-2 for Australian rules football, and that's going to have to change, and it's going to change this time around.
Okay.
All the coast teams in the Australian rules football league, they've let me down.
You're going inland?
So I'm going inland.
All right. Going
to the mighty matchup of Hawthorn versus Fremantle. I believe that's how you say it.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Give me Fremantle in this matchup on the money line. Fremantle.
You don't even know
Hawthorn.
How to say them, and you're picking them.
Well, this is going to be the winner.
Okay.
We're going a little bit more inland in Australia. I've tried to take down the big cities. Tried to take down Sydney last week. It didn't go well. They got beat by 96, and I'm not making that up.
By 96?
They got beat by 96 points. It was unbelievable.
How do you get beat by 96?
I can't explain it to you, but they got beat by 96.
That's a tremendous loss.
It was a loss of biblical proportions last week
I hope that's not considered a close game in Aussie rules.
It
football.
Is not. It is. It was okay. The word I saw described it was demolition. So wow. That's what I'm going with.
So okay. They didn't beat the spread there?
No, I'm going to say no. So give me Fremantle in the matchup, the highly anticipated matchup between Hawthorne and Fremantle. And the final round of individual selections, I'll begin with my lock of the week. Give me the Dodgers, -1.5 against the Diamondbacks. As Porth so eloquently put earlier this week, Diamondbacks went through a stretch where they couldn't win a game. And I think that stretch continues. Give me the Dodgers, -1.5, and make it my lock. David Beauclair, your final pick of the individual selection.
This is my lock as well.
Okay.
At UFC 264.
Oh, yeah.
Dustin Poirier does it to Conor McGregor again.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
Poirier taking down McGregor.
McGregor's become too much of a celebrity in that sport.
He's doing a lot of talking.
When you've got too much outside interest and everything, it's hard to
lose the grind, man.
Can't lose it. It's real inside that cage, and I think McGregor's life has gone beyond that cage. Can't get it back. Dustin Poirier
is going to lock it. That's the lock for David Beauclair. Ryan Porth, your final selection in this edition of Weekend Winners.
I forgot to make Giannis being the top point scorer my lock. So that is my lock. All right.
Have you done this before? Okay.
Huh?
Have you done this competition before?
It's been a while.
Okay, all right.
I've taken two vacations in like the last 3 weeks. So.
All right, continue.
It's a homer pick, but I feel good about it. Going with the Cincinnati Reds money line tonight in Milwaukee.
Oh.
The Reds bullpen struck yet again last night.
Yes, it did.
And I don't like how the pitching matchups are going for Cincinnati against Milwaukee this weekend.
Yeah.
So I think tonight with Wade Miley on the mound, the Reds get it done and at least get one of these big games against the Brewers tonight.
So you got a lot of confidence in Wade Miley.
The dude threw a no-hitter earlier this year.
I know. I'm just saying. You got a lot of confidence.
No-hitters are nothing this year, though.
Well, he's been consistent.
Everybody's thrown a no-hitter this year.
Did he spider-tack up the baseball? What's it been like since then?
I'm sure he's spider-tacked it and rosined it and sunscreened it. All of it.
Well, I can't do that anymore. So watch out, Wade Miley.
But he pitched well last time out,
I think. An offensive explosion tonight in what was once Miller Park, and now the name escapes me in Milwaukee. So there you go.
Some sort of insurance field.
There you go. Bring back Miller Park.
Brewers have gotten good.
Oh, yeah, they have. You got a slide in left field. Good enough for me. That is today's edition of Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Gentlemen, good luck. We wish you the best of luck over the weekend.
Sir.
When we come back, we will get into the NBA Finals. And also, a lot of local attention going to be in the MLB Draft coming up this weekend as well. What do we think is going to be the future for Leiter and Rocker coming out of Vanderbilt? Where do they land in the draft? What sort of pitchers do they forecast to be at the MLB level? We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Game 2 last night between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. The Suns get a 118-108 win. Devin Booker, a big night last night, 31 points for Devin Booker. Bridges added another 27, and then Chris Paul, 23 points, 8 assists to round it out last night for the Phoenix Suns. They take a 2-0 series lead. And David, as you mentioned earlier, and you're right, I mean, you look back through the history of the NBA, typically, I mean, there's some ascension involved, right? And it's changed a little bit, like, you know, even with, you know, LeBron and the Heat, they got to the finals the first year, but they lost the first year, and then they won the next two after that. There's typically a building process that takes place. Suns haven't been in the playoffs since 2010, and now here they sit two wins away from an NBA title.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the Pistons having to get past the Sixers and particularly the Celtics. You think of the Bulls having to overcome the Pistons before they could finally win it. I mean, the NBA, you're supposed to pay your dues.
Yeah.
You're supposed to suffer a couple of years in order to climb that mountain. But the Suns just flat out of nowhere, here they come. And it seems like they've got all the mojo on their side right now. So like I said, I haven't watched the games. I've been reading about them, so I have a sense of what's going on. But I think Giannis is hurt, and I think they, you know, it's a tall order for them to win four out of these last five now.
Yeah.
With a guy who's gutting it out there.
And I picked him to win in seven. I'm not feeling great about it right now. We'll have to see what happens on that front. But I said coming into the series from Milwaukee, like, the key is going to be how well does Chris Middleton shoot?
Yeah.
And so far, not very well. He has 11 points last night, 5 of 16 from the field. Drew Holiday, 7 of 21 from the field last night. Like, when your two other best players outside of Giannis, when they're both shooting below 33% from the field, I mean, you're digging yourself in a hole at that point. That's going to be too difficult to come out of. Bobby Portis still only 2 points off the bench last night, so not a good night offensively from an efficiency standpoint from Milwaukee. And, you know, Giannis battling through the injury that he is, 42 last night. We'll see if his body can hold up as they go back home to Milwaukee for game three. But
yeah, these apparently are not the Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire sons who are just trading baskets with you.
No,
they're playing a little defense down in Phoenix nowadays.
Playing a little defense, and I'll say this: I mean, look, there's not a ton of star power on this Suns team. Devin Booker, he's a star, and he is continuing to kind of rise up through the ranks here in the NBA. We know about Chris Paul, but Chris Paul, he's 36 years old. I mean, yeah. Chris Paul, as good as he is, still, he's not the Chris Paul from 2008 running around out there. But they play such a good team game that everybody knows what their role is. They've accepted it. They can rebound the ball with Ayton on the inside there. They've just got really everything that you want from a depth perspective. And just the way they run their offense, it's hard to stop. And when Devin Booker is shooting the lights out from three like he was last night, when you go 7-12 and you're over 50% from three, they're going to be tough to beat. And that's what it's been so far in the NBA Finals. So we'll see whether or not Milwaukee can make this a series. Coming up, you can listen to it on Sunday night on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Game three coming up between the Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks from Fizer Forum on Sunday night. The MLB draft coming up on Sunday as well. And David Beauclair, you threw out quite the shot earlier. You think Rocker and Leiter go 1-2 in the draft. Now, they're both right around the top five in the projections. But I'm kind of with you. Like,
I've seen Rocker as low as 7.
I have too. And I'm with you. Like, I watched those two guys pitch, and I just don't know how you could pass on those guys. They're awesome. So I'm interested to see how much of the projections are accurate and how much teams maybe don't overthink themselves and say, you know what, the name of the game is pitching in today's game, and you got to get some guys in here that can do it at a high level and do it quickly. And I think Leiter and Rock are both guys that can rise through the ranks relatively quickly and be in the MLB in the not-too-distant future.
And that's the thing. Baseball is the most patient of the major pro sports when it comes to prospects. But that patience has decreased significantly in recent years too. And when you're looking at guys who can be on a major league roster and contributing something, I mean, Leiter and Rocker could both be on a major league roster at some point, probably before the end of 2022. By most people's accounts, they were 1-2 at the start of the season. Neither guy pitched poorly. You know, when you talk about 1-2 in strikeouts in the NCAA, all that, getting a team that had flaws to the College World Series final, or, you know, I wouldn't say flaws, but had it wasn't as consistent as they probably wanted to be.
Sure.
I just think it was too easy for everybody to spend the whole season looking at other prospects and who could be a top prospect, and it's sort of taken those two guys have sort of been taken for granted a little bit. But when the time comes, I expect those names to be called very, very early.
So let's go around the room, because I think you can be in pretty good shape with both players, but I do think there are different styles of pitchers. Like, both of them have good stuff, don't get me wrong, but
right.
I think Leiter has better stuff than Rocker does. So who would you rather have as your future ace? Would it be Jack Leiter, or would it be Kumar Rocker? Ryan Porth, we start with you.
I think I trust Leiter more at the major league level to be an ace.
Okay.
Like I
just because of the stuff that he's got?
Yeah.
Because Rocker's a big game guy. Now
he is.
I realize the last time we saw Rocker, it didn't go particularly well for him. Now he was on 4 days rest at that point too. But we've seen Rocker throughout his entire career at Vanderbilt. When the moment gets big, that's the guy you've wanted on the mound.
Yeah. I mean, Leiter in, what was it, the Thursday or Friday night game against NC State where
he lost 1-0
and Heifel was game on that mind.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
But he faced adversity in that game and was just a bulldog and got guys out with ducks on the pond. And that to me was a Major League Baseball type of situation where you need your ace to get you out of a situation like that. So I think I trust Leiter more. Plus, in just the grand scheme of things, I could see a situation where Rocker becomes a closer. Like we see it all the time where starters, they convert them into bullpen guys because they're just better suited for that. Not saying that Rocker's not suited to be a starter, but I could see that within the spectrum of things with him.
David Beauclair, who would you rather have as your future ace, Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker?
Again, understanding it, you're splitting hairs here, but yes. I would pick Rocker just because he's different. You know, that size and projecting what that size could mean in terms of increased power and velocity and I just like the way he walks about out there and has a presence on the mound. So I think as great as Leiter is, he's great in ways that other guys are great. I think Rocker's a little something different, so I would go with him.
This is tough for me because I love both. I think at the end of the day, though, I'm probably giving the slight edge to Leiter just based on the stuff. That's it. Because I think his fastball's got a little bit more life, and his breaking ball, it's coming along pretty nicely. And as we learned throughout the end of the season, he's now working on a changeup as well to add to the repertoire. So maybe some more pitches coming for Jack Leiter as well. I think it's very difficult to choose, splitting hairs. Heidi from Dixon says Rocker because he's got a cooler name for marketing. So there you go on that front as well. Phillip says very tough to choose, but at the end of the day, you take Leiter and his stuff, especially in this day and age. So probably going to be a pretty good day.
Both of them have the athletic pedigree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which you like. I know, you know, a lot of scouts and GMs look at that sort of thing. It's either way, big weekend for Vanderbilt baseball.
Absolutely. So good luck to both Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker coming up this weekend in the MLB draft. David, thanks for taking time to join us today. You'll be back on Monday as well, so looking forward to that.
Sure, why not? I'll be able to make up this sleep over the weekend.
That's right. We're going to continue to talk a whole lot of sports coming up on Monday morning with David Beauclair in the fold. That does it for us today. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.